Our next guest on Downtown was nominated for a Tony Award for her role in the Broadway musical Once. She is a talented actress and musician, and we are so happy to be joined this afternoon by Elizabeth A. Davis. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with the question we're asking everybody. How are you managing a quarantine and the world we're in right now?
You know, I think that enormous gentleness and empathy with ourselves and with everyone around us, virtually and otherwise, is the course of action that I'm trying to take over here. I'm a mother, and balancing that with the weight of what the world is going through and how we're hopefully changing for the better, but also grieving, it is an enormous thing. And I have no words of wisdom, and heaven knows that nobody really needs to... I certainly don't want to take focus when the focus does not need to be taken, but I will continue to create things. Hopefully that can be great salve and hopefully lead us toward healing on the other side of this.
Well, and one of the things you're working on is a brand new song. The song is called AEDG. Can you tell the backstory of that, where the title comes from, what it means, and the sentiment behind this song?
Absolutely. I wrote AEDG, which is, by the way, the way that a violinist tunes the strings of their violin. You start with the A, you go to the E, and then D and G. And I wrote it as I was preparing to write a new musical. And I ended up, the piece journeys through a woman who does play the violin. It's about my journey peripherally. But there's a moment where this person has to sell their violin, metaphorically, kind of give away their voice in order to continue, and the death of giving away something that has been your voice, and what that leads someone to say. And so some of the lyrics, what has happened to AEDG, what has happened to me? When the world has made us mute, I held you close, and cried, I screamed, fought, and tried. But then into the chorus is saying, you've been there even when you weren't there. The melody of who you are echoes in the air. So I wrote that song quite a while ago. I would say the development of that show was about 5 years ago now. And so I wrote this song for the musical. But I also found in writing it that I was, in essence, also saying goodbye to another musical, which was Once, which you heard, you played before there. The idea of what it means to kind of let go of one voice to find another voice. And I do think that there is great echoes of what we're seeing and feeling as a nation right now of saying, you know, what has happened to us? And how do we let go in order to find the new song?
That's very well said.
Yeah, that's what the song is about. And we shot a music video. And the woman who is my director is a woman named Angelica Zolo. And her parents were lead producers on Once. And she kind of came to them and were like, hey, you guys should think about this. And so in essence, I credit her for kind of giving me the journey of Once. And she said, I would love to direct a music video of this song. And so we have that coming out very soon. We're also trying to be very cautious and wise about the right time to do that, but we hope when it enters the world it can be a real healing journey.
Once was such a phenomenon, and I was lucky enough to see it in the, I guess, the development stages down at ART in Cambridge.
Oh yes, wow, that was the very beginning. That's incredible. You know, I'm actually supposed to be in Cambridge right now, because I am headed back to ART with the musical 1776.
All right.
And I'm playing Thomas Jefferson. So there you go. Who played the violin? So full circle.
Well, they do such wonderful work. What Diane Paulus has created there. And for those of us in New England, it's such a wonderful opportunity to see shows, so many shows that will eventually make their way to the Broadway stage.
I completely agree with you. I do think that they have done made enormous strides to being as open to many voices. And I think that what Diane is doing with this show, she's giving 25 women Broadway contracts, and 25 women as well as transgender and people across the spectrum. And so she is a mouthpiece for, in my view, for justice and for what is needed right now. And so I applaud her and the ART, and I look forward to being there whenever we're all able to be back in the theater shoulder to shoulder without masks.
Well, I look forward to seeing the show. What a perfect time for us to be reminded of how this American experience began.
Can I tell you, it's really shocking, the timeliness of it. It was timely when she announced it, but what has most struck me in the process that we have been able to have so far, it's encouraging in that the creation of this country was fraught, difficult, at times violent, and there were a lot of people that were in bitter disagreement. And somehow we were still able to move forward. And yes, we are paying for the sins of our father, I do believe, but there is still enormous brilliance in the Declaration, and there is enormous brilliance for us to draw from in this moment of saying there were people that had to fight and stay at the table in order to get something done that we still live by. We still say all men, people are created equal. All people have the right for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which Jefferson actually changed from what, I can't remember, it was Thomas Paine, but someone, it previously was known in the public psyche of life, liberty, and property.
Right.
And he changed that to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which I think is really beautiful for us right now, at any time. But it's nice to be reminded that we need a living document. And we are alive, thank God, and we are breathing, and we get to interpret it as Americans, which just seems like a very trying thing to try to do right now, but we must.
We're talking with Elizabeth A. Davis here on Downtown. One of my big influences in life was my high school speech teacher, and I understand your mom was a speech teacher.
Oh, she was. She still is a speech teacher to me. She still will catch little things. And one of my favorite things about my mom is she made a quilt, like a phonics quilt, but the, oh gosh, it's, I can't remember the word right now, but it, in essence, is like all of the vowel and consonant sounds and shapes and waves, phonetics.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's the word. My mother made a phonetic quilt in college, and it's one of my favorite things about her. She loved words and the power of them, and of course, I credit her immensely and totally for, I guess, my love of words and how they intertwine with music.
When did you first know this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I started playing the violin when I was 3. And
wow.
Isn't that interesting? My son turned 3 a week and a half ago, and we're talking about starting him on the classical guitar. And his choice, either the trumpet or the classical guitar. And I thought, oh, let's go with the guitar first. But I guess it is tied to the violin. I do say that's my first voice. But that combined with my parents were just, they worked in a tiny public school, and they together directed the high school one-act play.
Hey, that's what I do.
What?
Yeah, that's my day job when I'm not on the radio.
Isn't it? It's, you're an essential worker in my view, and I don't mean to use that hyperbolically or irreverently, but I do believe that it is it is a role that shapes young people. I mean, it's then or never, right?
Right.
So thank you to you, and congratulations to you and your students for getting to have you as their teacher. But that's what my parents did, and I watched them direct plays together from the time I was coherent, I guess three or four, and sitting on the steps of that stage and watching my mom help people create things. And so, yeah, I think theater has always been woven in with community change and family, and that it has a purpose greater than itself. And it's about the people inside of it as well. And so that's, I guess that's a very long way to answer your question, which is probably before I ever understood it, it was kind of clear cut for me. But I, my second year of college, I did announce officially, or made my major officially, theater, and I got my graduate degree in theater as well. And, you know, I love TV and I love film, and I do that, but the form, the art form of theater is, I think, well, we can describe it now in a way that perhaps we couldn't. People are longing to be together. People have been unable to be in the presence of another, to be in a theater and experience the visceral magic of what happens when we're all gathered to tell each other a story. And you just can't replace that. You can't. It's cellular in the theater.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we all look forward to that day. Hopefully not too far down the road, we can have that special and magical experience of being at one in a live performance. Elizabeth, it's a real treat for us to talk with you. By the way, you can visit Elizabeth's website at elizabethdavis.com. We'll look forward to the video of AEDG, and hopefully I will be in the audience down at ART when 1776 gets underway. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Elizabeth A. Davis here on Downtown.